joining us for Chicago's Afternoon News. This is 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dent. I look forward to Tuesdays because it means I get to have a conversation. Well, not just me, but you as well. We get to converse with Tom Skilling, our beloved weatherman from WGN-TV. Our conversation is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom, when people put their foot into the lake over this long holiday weekend, I think most of them were pretty surprised at the water temperature.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lisa, it was interesting. And I saw a number of brave souls wandering into the water. The water was about 40 degrees colder than the air was because we had a temperature that made it up to 92 at Midway yesterday. And with those howling southwest winds that were so warm and humid, yet the water temp was 53. And, you know, the problem there is water warms up much more slowly than the air around it. So you want to go in swimming when the air gets up to 92. And yet, with a water temperature of 53, you can get into a situation with hypothermia pretty quickly. So you've got to be careful of that. But I saw some people that were willing to do it. And, you know, it's also kind of interesting, Lisa. These days that get up to 92 often feature a powerhouse southwest wind that acts to blow the warm surface water in the lake out farther into the lake. And you get this upwelling of cold, deep water on the shoreline. So actually, your coldest water days can be the days in which your air temperatures are the warmest. And that's what happened yesterday.
They're brave souls. I would never go in that water when it's 50 degrees. I can't imagine what that feels like.
No, I can't either. I remember as a kid, we went up to YMCA camp. It was a father-son weekend, and I jumped into a lake up in upstate New York that was cooled by melting snow coming off the Catskill Mountains. And I'm telling you, Lisa, I literally thought I was going to die. You know, your heart stops when that happens. And literally, you can get into some trouble, you know, health-wise. But I'm with you. No thanks. I'll stick my toe into it, and that's about as far as it goes.
Hey, Tom, I got to ask you this. Did you see the story? Maybe you didn't, because I think it's just breaking today. But this is intriguing, since we're talking about bodies of water. Researchers in the Florida Keys took tissue samples from 93 bonefish in Biscayne Bay over the course of 3 years. And they found that all of these fish have high levels of pharmaceuticals in their tissue.
Isn't that something? You know, you hear that about tissue samples taken in the Great Lakes. And apparently, you know, as I understand it, I'm not an expert on water pollution, but my understanding and reading about this over the years is that, you know, it's hard for when these water treatment plants treat water to get, it's hard for them to get rid of the pharmaceuticals that we sometimes flush down the toilet or send down a drain, you know, to get rid of. And the problem is, apparently, the cleansing techniques for the water doesn't eradicate these things. But that's really interesting. I have not seen that report. I'm not surprised to hear it, though.
Yeah, they said each bonefish had an average of 7 pharmaceuticals present, including blood pressure medications, antidepressants, prostate treatment medications, antibiotics, and pain relievers. And I'm thinking, well, we don't even think of that when we jump into the water.
No, that's true. I'll tell you one thing. They've got to be very happy fish, and they're not depressed, I gather, so we're filmed.
Hey, when do we expect that storm to show up tonight, and is it going to be severe?
Well, I'll tell you, we're at a level 2 risk on a 5-level risk scale, as assessed by the Storm Prediction Center. They call this a slight risk, but that shouldn't minimize the fact that some of the storms that will develop could be active. You know, it's the same setup that produced a violent outbreak of severe weather through the western Midwest, Minnesota, parts of South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, and northwest Wisconsin were hard hit by this same weather system last night. And it looks like the period from 6 p.m. through about 3 in the morning is the period that will bracket most of the precipitation. We could get a shower or a thunderstorm to pop before that. But, you know, Lisa, in this day of computer modeling, we get these indices that look at whether the air is buoyant, whether it's energetic, whether there's a jet stream overhead that might twist it as it's rising. And all those conditions seem to be falling into place to some extent. So I think between 6 and midnight would be the period to watch for you know, possible severe storms to pop up among these that will come through the area. And so it's a situation to watch. But if we can get through about 3 or 4 in the morning, we're through the severe weather risk and shower period, and we go into a cooler, quieter weather regime in the weeks ahead, the days ahead this week.
Tom Skilling is with us because it's Tuesday, and we love catching up with you. We're going to get a check on traffic and then come back and talk about water park season. The state's largest water park opens this weekend. Will it be a good weekend to take the kids out there? We'll find out with Tom Skilling. But first, a check on weather. Not weather. We've got that. We'll check traffic with Mary Vandeveld. Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. One of my favorite people who I've literally never met face-to-face is with us this afternoon on WGN. We've got to change that, Tom.
You know, that's true, Lisa. I always enjoy talking to you, and yet we do it by way of this hookup here.
Yeah,
we've got to do that. Meet each other face-to-face. It makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
But it's always great talking to you.
I feel the same way. So Yorkville is the home of the state's largest water park called Raging Waves, and it's going to open up this Saturday. Is it going to be a good weekend for hitting a water park or the beach?
Well, you know, I think out in Yorkville, it may actually be okay. Now, there may be some scattered showers around, but the operative word there is scattered. I wouldn't be surprised that they see some temperatures well into the 70s. And you can sure swim in a water park in those and get away with it without too much discomfort. That sounds kind of fun, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
You know, you're never too old for a water park, really.
No, I'll tell you something. We love the water. And you know, it's not surprising. I mean, we sprang from the primordial oceans. And so I guess our affinity toward water is kind of built in.
So for our friends who might be traveling to Mexico, they had a hurricane land over the weekend, right?
Yeah, it was a level 2 hurricane. It was the strongest hurricane to landfall in that part of Mexico in May. And the area it hit was an area east of Acapulco, not Acapulco itself. But it went in there with 105-mile-an-hour winds. Now, what's happened, Lisa, is it's kind of broken up on the mountains there in Mexico, but the disturbance is going to cross those mountains and go into the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, that is something to watch because, you know, the kids are out of school now or it's coming to an end and everybody's headed to places like Florida and Mexico. And, you know, you leave Chicago and the weather's pretty good and you do not expect it to be bad in other places. But that's why you got to check before you go.
And, you know, tomorrow being June 1st, we not only begin climatological summer and a new month, but that begins the Atlantic hurricane season. And from all indications, this is likely to be the 7th consecutive season that's above normal in producing tropical storms and hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting a storm of that intensity hit Mexico because often La Nina years produce a decline in the number of eastern Pacific hurricanes, even though they foster more hurricanes than usual on the Atlantic side and the Gulf of Mexico side. And that includes the Caribbean. So it'd be interesting to see how this season unfolds.
So what are we looking at for June when it comes to statistics? Is this one of our more humid months?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is indeed. One of the warmer months, June and July are, as a matter of fact. The day has continued lengthening, Lisa, up to the summer solstice, which takes place on June 21st. That's our longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. It's also the first day of winter in the Southern Hemisphere. But, this gets to be warm. And another thing that happens that's of interest to us here in Chicago, the lake temperatures often get out of that cold level, you know, out of the cold regime they're in right now. And by the middle and end of June, your lake temperatures have warmed up to the point that you don't fear an easterly wind coming in off the lake. Because while it cools the shoreline, it doesn't cool it dramatically. But it tends not to be as cool by the lake as the lake warms up later in June.
Hey, Tom, did you see the couple in the tornado in Gaylord, Michigan, that for some reason continued driving until they got right into the heart of the tornado? Have you seen that video?
I have not seen that video, but I'll tell you, that was an amazing outbreak. There have only been 4 more powerful tornadoes that have occurred that far north in Michigan since the tail record started back around 1950. And there was a derecho, that's a line, a squall line, that went through southern Canada the same time that tornado was occurring in northern Michigan. I didn't see that video, but it's amazing how folks, you know, accidentally and unwantingly wind up in the middle of these tornadoes. And it's lucky they aren't hurt. Because you could get seriously, you know, your vehicle can be picked up and thrown through the air. That was a strong tornado up there.
Well, in some of the videos, the video they posted while they're driving in the car, and I thought, why are you continuing to drive in the path of the tornado? And they really didn't seem to be doing it intentionally, but you could see other vehicles being tossed, and it was just a mess. And at one point, I think they sought shelter in a car wash. You know, where they just drove into the car wash, but I'm certain their car got a lot of damage.
One way or another, the car is going to be clean, I guess, and providing it wasn't too badly damaged. You know, I've seen videos in the past where families will be in cars, and the parents are kind of intrigued. It'll be the dad driving sometime, and he'll say, gee, let's continue on here. And you hear the kids in the back seat saying, Dad, I don't think this is a great idea. There was a tornado that hit a house down in Texas. There's video of that. And the father walks over to the window and is looking out at the swimming pool, which is being bombarded by hailstones. And you hear the kid and his kid and the wife in the background saying, Dear, get away from there. Not a good idea to go near glass of any kind, whether it's in an auto or, you know, a structure when you've got a tornado going by. But that's interesting.
I know. People just want to capture that video so they can get a bunch of hits on social media, and they put their life in danger doing it. It's just silly.
I know. It really is. And, you know, the whole storm chasing thing has become a cottage industry out in the plains, and I worry about it. You know, we had that tragedy where these young students were killed, right, including a young man from Grays Lake. And, you know, you worry about that. I remember when we did a storm chase back in 2010, we were down in northeast Oklahoma. And, you know, you get on these highways, and you're moving along at highway speed. You're hemmed in by vehicles on either side of you. And we were watching a multiple vortex tornado come up on us. It was like something out of a Steven Spielberg film. And it was scary. You know, we had a $1 million satellite truck following us, and there were a whole row of cars, and we're all hanging out the windows with cameras trying to get shots of it. And our producer, Pam Grimes, at the time was driving, and she says, get in, you're going to kill yourselves. It was scary, and yet you didn't want to miss it. You were watching one of the great feats of nature unfold before you, and we went down that highway later that day, and there were semis flipped on top of cars, and I'm sure there were some people seriously hurt in that. But we decided to keep going to get out of the way because there were emergency vehicles there trying to tend to the injured. Those are nothing to fool with, those storms. They're very dangerous.
Especially in Tornado Alley in Oklahoma. So give us that $1 million Tom Skilling forecast. What can we look forward to this week?
Well, it's going to get cooler. Tomorrow will be in the 70s versus our well into the 80s today. And we're going to get these showers and thunderstorms to multiply in number tonight. They'll be out of here by daybreak. And then tomorrow, a partly cloudy day with a few showers swiping us again tomorrow night. But 70s the rest of the week, and they'll even be 60s along the lakefront. Some sign, Lisa, as we head deeper into next week, we'll start warming back up again. It's hard not to do that at this time of the year.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be looking for you on WGN-TV tonight. Thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Lisa, always great to talk to you. You take care, and happy Tuesday, Lisa.
Hey, Lauren's got the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN-TV.